Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Mike Bubbins, comedian, yes. Friend of the show, joined us. He was on good form.
Relaxing presence, isn't he, Paul?
He was. He calmed the whole thing down a lot. He talked NFL, rugby and football.
Yeah.
He was on good form. Joel Hicks, the reigning champion in World Gravy Wrestling.
Yeah. You thought I might want to get involved.
I told you you'd look good in a leotard. we spoke to him. Matt Ford, comedian, Forest fan, joined us as well. Gave us a little bit of Donald Trump, which always goes down well.
He didn't want to talk about Forest, but he did anyway.
Obviously, as an impression, not necessarily as a president. and we had the birthday spread.
A birthday spread, Paul, who knows who won?
It's midway at the moment.
That's all we're telling you.
So, it's quite a bit of a bumper one today. We hope you enjoy it. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. I was, I'll talk to you about the England game in a minute, but I was on my way in today and I bought a coffee. I was buying a coffee for myself.
Yeah.
And the person next to me, after me, said, "Oh, I'll have a coffee, please. Do you do NHS discount?"
Hmm.
And I was like, "I'll buy that for you."
That's a nice
person. It's a nice person, aren't I, Paul? Yeah. "I'll buy that for you." They went, "Yeah, great stuff, got that thing." He went, "Oh, I've only just started today on reception." And I was like, "Yeah." I mean, look, receptionists.
Still.
So, I mean, look.
So you did this because you had an image of this person as frontline during one of the most difficult periods in the NHS.
A nurse on getting a coffee to go into a 12th hour of, his 12th hour.
Yeah.
He was a bloke. And I was like, But I mean, look, they do a great job, the receptionists. Yeah. But first day on reception,
they do a great job. It's the first day. It's the first day.
So I just did feel like I'd got that a bit wrong.
I used to work for a company, a magazine publishers, and the editor of one of the magazines, they had this drum kit from, I can't remember the band was, it might have been Metallica, but it was lovely Win Their kit. Yeah. And the editor wanted it to go to a good home.
Yeah.
And they found a good home for it, felt, with this guy. And he kind of knew this part of the world where the bloke lived. He said, "It's a bit of a rundown sort of area, that." He said, "This is somebody who really benefit from a kit.
Really
it could be a life changer for them." So when they phoned the bloke up, he said, "Hello." He said, "You've won this competition." "Oh, great, yeah." He said, "Well, can you come down and pick it up?" "Well, okay, I might fly down with my dad in his company helicopter."
Oh,
I'd all gone pear-shaped.
"Oh, no. Yeah, we've got Henley next week." But
He wanted it in the hands of... So, look, it can backfire on you sometimes.
Exactly, there we are. I was just trying to be nice, Paul. And, it's a nice thing to do.
Let me get that. It's lovely.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
I like the fact you get the NHS discount before you even start the job.
Exactly.
That's great. As soon as they tell you you've got the job.
I did ask for a TalkSport discount, but they put more money on.
They do. I'm not surprised. Yeah, that's right. Couple of things I want to get people going. First, England, Charlie.
Okay.
When you're sitting there saying 4-0, 5-0
I know, but we could have done that. It annoys me. We need more confidence,
I don't
Paul.
Think we created 4 clear-cut chances.
I know, but last night... If we lost, we lost, right? They should have just absolutely gone for it in Poland last night. And when we're 1-0 up, good goal. Chesney should have done better.
Yesterday saying, "How can Southgate be so gung-ho?
Lost 3-0.
He didn't need to do that.
He only needed
a draw.
You just need more confidence in this team.
Captain
Hindsight,
mate.
We're really, really good.
No.
Just need more confidence, especially at 1-0 up. No subs is just weird behaviour.
Well, look, we are going to come
on. In this day and age, bringing no subs on... is just odd behaviour.
Well, he was about to when they scored. Wow. But anyway, we will be chatting to Henry Winter about that very shortly. He's, I mean, I think most people feel that, you know, the game management wasn't quite up to it, and it fits into the narrative around Gareth Southgate that he can sit on his hands. Some people believe.
I'm not being negative about Southgate. I think he's done an amazing job. Yeah. I think he's a brilliant manager. I just found that last night so frustrating. Mm. Confidence.
Now, we want to get you going on a couple of things this afternoon, and thank you for everything. You always send in some very good stuff to us, so we do appreciate it. But this was Deontay Wilder. We're going to be chatting about his fight with Tyson Fury. We're going to bring you that next month on TalkSport, live and exclusive. He's been talking about being the... He's got five kids, I think, two daughters. And I think somebody interviewed him and said, you know, what are you going to be like as a dad of daughters when they start bringing boys home? He said, well, I've given that some thought. He said, I've said to them that you can go out with these boys, but I've got to meet them. And he said, I'm going to want to know that they can protect you. Oh. So I want to spar three rounds with them. I think he's joking.
You know.
But imagine that. Imagine that. Like going there, like going out with Deontay's daughter and come and meet my dad. And you go in there and he says, okay, the ring's set up. Imagine that. I'm in a bad mood today.
This is my dad. Oh, great.
What about that?
I think it's quite a sexist, old-fashioned viewpoint, Paul, that you have to look after girls more than you have to look after boys when they're dating. Have you seen the size of girls these days?
I'm not sure that's helping.
You've seen them, Paul. They're absolutely massive
they're
now,
very
kids.
Tall, aren't they? They're very tall. Yeah, kids are very
kids
tall.
Are, and girls get really tall really quickly.
Well, it's a take I've not heard, Charlie.
So I'm going to be looking after my boy. I think, who's this turning up?
So, let's class act. Let's hear from you this afternoon about those first date dads. It could be just meet the parents. We don't mind. We'll open it up.
Meet the parents, either
way. But on either side, you know, you think, oh, what are they going to be like? And then it didn't go particularly well. That would be useful. But first date dads in the Deontay Wilder style, he might be quite nice. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. And I was quite troubled to see this story as well. Cops told off a mum, I won't go into detail, spare her all that, told off a mum after her kids chalked hopscotch marks on a pavement in Milton Keynes.
Oh, come on.
Now, when I was a kid, I mean, you couldn't walk down a street without somebody. I mean, look, I'm not being sexist. It was predominantly a girls' game.
It was. Hopscotch.
It just was. We didn't get together. There wasn't gangs of boys hanging around the street playing hopscotch. It was predominantly a very young girls' game.
Yeah.
But the chalked out hopscotch markings were... They were everywhere.
Or cricket stumps people would chalk out, or elastics, Paul. I'm sure you were good at elastics.
What's elastics, Charlie?
You have two people with elastic around their legs, and they jump in and out the elastic and twist themselves up in the elastic.
Brought up in Brooklyn or Paignton.
That was big at school.
Pasty boys go around the outside.
Who's got the elastic? Yeah.
But anyway,
John's got some elastic.
Yeah, so we just wondered, some of these great lost games, I mean, clearly, the only people now who put chalk on the floor are people that are marking it up to sort of dig up the road.
Yeah.
Do you know, the guys come along, they mark it up and they, you know, they're sort of surveyors. But I wonder if they have a game of hopscotch now and again as they've got the chalk out.
Time on their hands. But Kirby was good, wasn't it, Paul? You ever play Kirby?
And what,
standing opposite
Merseyside? I'm sure you've played Kirby before. They've got a comedy club there, haven't they?
Stand opposite people on the curb and you have to bounce the ball.
Oh,
off
yeah,
it.
Oh, Kirby. Yeah,
Kirby. That's a good one.
So, we'll just get some of the great lost games in. Charlie's got 100 of them, really. He was never indoors. Mum wouldn't let him in.
Played them all alone.
Climbed through the window at 3 o'clock in the morning to get back in. So, do let us know. And you used to see people walk along the road, like on their way to work, or the old milkman, he'd suddenly, if you saw a hopscotch marked out, people would do it. They'd start doing the jumps. It would be difficult. If you see it there, you just... Anyway, let us know. It's a great shame that police are... telling people off for doing it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now the NFL returns.
Fantastic.
In the early hours of tomorrow morning. And here to preview it, amongst other things, is a comedian, podcaster.
Yeah, singer.
Actor, singer.
Is there anything he can do?
Well, Mike Bubbins joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, we often talk rugby or a bit of football with you, Mike. Certainly when
we do.
We come along to Cardiff. But you love your American sports, especially the NFL.
NFL fan since 83, Paul. Yeah, massive. I got my Sunday night club ready, the boys. I'm ready every Sunday night watching football, two games live. But I'll be watching it tonight, of course. Kick-off tonight.
What got you into it, Mike? What was the catalyst for it then?
Channel 4, Nicky Horn. A bit of Bonnie Tyler, a bit of razzmatazz, tight trousers, perfect. I mean, yeah, I just loved it from the first time I saw it. I was 11 years of age, thought, this is me. And football at the time was like quite dour, big muddy pitches. Rugby was quite dour. And then suddenly this came along and I thought, hello. Been a love with it ever since.
Yeah. When Mike says this Sunday night club as well, Paul, he's got a pub in his garden.
Mm.
He's got the most brilliant pub in his garden.
Yeah.
Wow, he has all his mates round.
Yeah.
When they all sit there drinking on Mike's expense.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And watching the football. It looks a fantastic night out. I've never been invited, Paul.
But okay. You have actually, Charlie. You were invited after a preview gig you did at the Capital Arts Centre.
Yeah.
And you said, thanks, mate, but I've got to shoot home.
Yeah, got to shoot home.
Oh, there we are. Now, maybe we should get on to the football because we're in for an interesting season. The crowds are back in earnest, aren't they, for the full season, which is good news. Yeah. There's even a couple of new stadiums that fans have not been in. I mean, who are you fancying? When you look at the form of the teams, are you going for Tampa Bay again?
Well, I'm a huge Green Bay fan anyway. Mm-hmm. And I do think in the power rankings, they're a hot tip again to win the division and to go. I always think they're going to go all the way. So I think they could go all the way this year. Tampa, good. I think there'll be a couple of dark horses. I think Dallas will do all right, actually. I think Buffalo might do better than people think. It's exciting. I mean, the way that it's done, because of the draft and because of the salary cap, then you know that you can support somebody, and with a few exceptions, within a year or two, you're going to be in contention, which is nice.
I mean, one of the off-season soap operas has been around Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. Would he stay? Wouldn't he stay? Wasn't happy with some of the things that were going on. Now him and Devante Adams, the receiver, are sending out tweets like last dance tweets from Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. And so they're saying this could be the last year. Because the interesting thing is, though, that people may not realise, although we talked to Tom Macklin about it, is that in the off-season, Aaron Rodgers has been presenting Jeopardy, a popular game show. And he might get the gig full-time because it's just become available. It's a bit like, say, Jordan Henderson taking over from Bradley Walsh on The Chase, isn't it? Full-time, while he's still playing for Liverpool. It's a weird thing.
I can't do
Sundays. Blankety-blank.
That'd
be great. I'd love to see that.
But it is quite strange. It's not like an ex-sports star doing a quiz. That happens. But a current top-level sportsman doing a quiz show.
He's a very shrewd blogger. I mean, but he's 30. He's pushing 40. He's had a fantastic stellar career. He feels he's been let down a bit by the front office and by the way they drafted and stuff. So I can see where he's coming from. I'm a big Green Bay fan. But I think if you imagine when he was expecting them to take a receiver to help him out a couple of years ago, and they took, without consulting him, they took a quarterback in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go down particularly well. You know, if you had a Ronaldo and you signed Messi without telling him, you know, you might want to broach that subject with him first. So, yeah, there's been a bit of bad blood since then, but we'll see.
Yeah,
a huge rugby
fan.
It's
all agents, mate. It's all agents.
Yeah, exactly. Before we leave that, a couple of things. Some of the draft picks everybody's talking about. The lad Trevor Lawrence at Jacksonville. And Zach Wilson at the Jets as well. So there's always a lot of excitement about how these newbies are going to do. The other interesting story is Patriots, isn't it? Everybody's starting to talk about them again. They've got a rookie quarterback in. They got rid of Cam Newton. They cut him.
Yeah, just let Newton go. That was big news, actually. Yeah. So. I mean, they'll always come good. I mean, don't write those off. But of course, Tom Brady, I mean, when he left, everyone thinks he's a write-off, goes to Tampa Bay. And what does he do? He does what Tom does and wins a Super Bowl. So I love it. Even though I'm a big Packers fan, you cannot deny how great Tom Brady is.
Should we move on to a bit of rugby?
Bubs is a huge international rugby fan. I know that. I don't know how much he follows the club game, but they're proposing the Rugby 12s tournament in a bid to chase that cricket 20/20 pound or the £100.
Lukewarm
received, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. What do you think, Mike?
I think it's an absolute. Oh, it's just such a bad idea. I mean, the problem with rugby is it's played by, you know, fit athletes and is managed by absolute donkeys. The people at the top level of world rugby especially, but the unions as well, each of the regions, all they really care about is their free seat, their three-course lunches, their jollies, their money, their free cars. I mean, I despair, 12-a-side rugby and a friend. Then what they've seen is that the 100's done quite well. They think we'll have a bit of that. You know, they don't care about the fact that Pacific Islands are in disarray, rugby's not being funded properly at schools level and junior level. Let's try something new. Let's give this a whirl. This seems like a good. I think it's an absolutely awful idea.
Yeah.
There we go.
Where are they going to fit it in? Where are they? I mean, the thing
is the
players are flogged as it is, and they can't play all the time.
The players are flogged as it is, and where are they going to fit it in?
They're talking about doing it in August as a sort of round robin, then a playoff, which would mean you'd have no off season. You'd have a couple of weeks in July.
Mm.
In a really brutal contact sport with 2 weeks off of you. You can't do it. It's not doable.
And it'd be an auction, isn't it?
There's all the talk about concussion in rugby and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So they need that rest.
The players
as well.
Are knackered and the quality goes down across the board. And the idea that you'll do it like the IPL and you'll bring in the world's best players, they've all got to be released by their clubs at that time. I've heard a few people suggesting it's a non-starter, but they've put it out there, they've floated it, so they're obviously serious about it. They've got a lot of money backing them. So
they've tinkered with it, and they've tinkered with it before, and they'll keep tinkering with it. You know, I think sevens is good now. I think that they've sort of seen the World Series of Sevens I quite like. Thankfully, the women's games and the disabled rugby is getting a bit more coverage now than it used to, but this thing now, this 12-a-side nonsense. The only good side of it is, from what I've read of it, is like the 100, there will be a women's competition running parallel to it. There will be the same prize money. So that's good. I think the best thing about the cricket 100 was that women's cricket was finally on TV, getting decent crowds in and stuff. So I like that side of it, but I mean, it just looks like a non-starter for me.
Yeah,
I'm a purist.
You are, yeah. Just on the football very quickly, last night Wales had a really good chance to kind of build on what they did at the weekend with that late winner against Belarus.
Yeah.
And then the young, 19-year-old Arsenal goalkeeper, Hine, he had a very good game. Kept him out, didn't he?
He played very well. We had a lot of chance, but just couldn't finish yesterday. And it just shows, it always is with football, fine margins. But when Bale is just off a little bit, we're a completely different team. So he had a few chances, which he created, and, you know, I think Gunn's put him into position a few times, and Danny played well. But I mean, just really disappointing. Against Estonia, I'm not knocking the Estonian lads, but they've averaged losing 5-0. You know, they've lost 6-0 this tournament. So to not score against them at home was very disappointing. And now I think we're up against it now to qualify.
Could have put extra points on the Czech Republic. That was a bit of a blow, wasn't it, really?
Not always been a big football fan, have you, Mike? It's been in the last few years that's come through in you, isn't it? And I don't know if that's you hanging around with Ellis James too much and now you do the podcast with Ellis James, the socially distant sports bar, which is, I'm going to say, a surprise hit, knowing the two of you.
I'd say surprise smash it. But I mean, I agree with the surprise bit, Just me, Ellis, and a friend of ours called Steph Guerrero, who's a sports journalist, who got together right at the start of lockdown to talk about a roundup of the week's sport. Then there was no sport, so we just started watching old clips and documentaries and reading books and talking about it, and just spiraled into three blokes in a sort of virtual pub talking about sport and everything else. So I think the first podcast was 56 minutes long, and the last one, which I think was number 75, was 3 hours and 10 minutes.
That sounds too long. That's
and the sports, long. The sports content hasn't changed. So I mean,
fantastic.
There is an edit button, you know.
Well, the live records take about 6 hours. That's the thing. We have to schedule like school breaks in between to pick the kids up and stuff.
And we spoke to Ellis on Monday, and he was telling us you guys are going on tour with the podcast.
Yeah, first one. We're going on tour starting a week Saturday. So we're in Hackney Empire Saturday, Sunday. Then we're all over the country. So Salford and Newcastle and Belfast and Edinburgh and Cardiff and Birmingham. And I cannot wait.
Tremendous. One of the things you've done as part of the podcast is got lots of merch, haven't you? Purple and yellow is your colour.
Well, they've got those Admiral shirts.
And I see you've done you've done your own cowboy boots as well.
Yeah, I've done. You've seen them, haven't you? Pearlescent purple. Yeah, they're not for public purchase, but the other stuff. So the Admiral boys got in touch with us. We covered their documentary called Get Shirty about Admiral kit and the sort of replica kit thing. And then, they offered to make us home and away distant pod shirts.
Lovely.
And they think they sold out in like an hour and a half, which was great.
Fantastic. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled for you.
So people should come and see it. That's the thing. There's no reason not to. If you've got disability, then those places are accessible. Unless you've got like a couple of weeks to live. Even then, I mean, you've got a couple of weeks to live. Make the most of it. You know, why not have a laugh last couple of weeks?
That's why. Let's put that on the poster. That's why. Yeah.
Tickets, of course, at distantpod.com. So
indeed.
Thanks for letting me plug that.
That's a pleasure.
Brilliant, Bubs.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. Are you going to be watching in the early hours? Is it only Sundays you do, or will you be watching at 20 past 1?
I always do the kickoff. I'll be watching the Buccaneers this morning, 1:20 a.m. I'll be in the bar, like a sad case on my own. unless you want to come down, you two are welcome, of course.
Oh, maybe we do a show
straight after
it.
Show. We'll drive down. We'll run that past the gaffers. See how they take the news. Yeah.
Free bar. Come on.
Free bar. Cheers, Mike. All the best.
Cheers, boys. Take care. Thanks.
There we are. Mike Bubbins here. We'll be chatting to Tom Acklin about the first game of the NFL season, I'm sure, tomorrow afternoon. We're talking gravy wrestling in a moment.
Fantastic.
It's been a tough time, as it has been for all sports, and gravy wrestling, you know, is not exempt from that.
No.
But there is some good news on the horizon.
There's been a slight complaint about it, how we're spending more time talking about mud wrestling than Emma Raducanu and the US Open. We did do a big section on that yesterday.
We did
Paul,
do a big section on
a
Emma Raducanu.
A big preview on Emma Raducanu.
And I don't have much more we can say.
There's not a lot more we can say other than well done.
It was brilliant. I watched it when I got
home.
And she
fantastic.
Was, after a slow start, which seems to be her thing, she was sensational.
Exactly. But we are a broad church, and we will also cover gravy wrestling.
Well, we have to, because it doesn't get the coverage it deserves. And
minority sport, Paul.
We will be. Well, I mean, I'm sure you'll be talking about it on Saturday. She plays again on Saturday, so you'll be here.
Well, I've been talking about her for weeks and weeks. She's excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Have you been? I've not heard you.
2 weeks.
About
I've been pitching to get her on this show, Paul.
Yesterday was the first time I heard you mention her name.
Not like you, just glory hunter.
Imagine that you come in your visor and your red Nike outfit, having us all on, mate. Anyway, I'm sorry, it is gravy wrestling next.
Yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Deontay Wilder will be chatting about a little bit later on. He says it'll be a scary first date. Dad insisting on three rounds of any prospective boyfriend of his two daughters. John Mortar. Good afternoon. John says, as a Spurs fan in East Sussex, I grew up in a town where you were either Spurs or West Ham. As a Spurs fan in our area, we hated West Ham more than Arsenal. Years later, I went on a first date with a lovely girl who turned out to be the daughter of an 80s West Ham keeper. That was never going to last, John, was it?
Les Seeley?
I don't know. No idea. We'd just be guessing. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ to get in touch this afternoon on that. And also on those great lost streak games.
We'd
like to find out a bit more about those because somebody has just been ticked off by the police for allowing their kids to draw out a hopscotch marking. You know what I mean?
Seems a shame,
pitch.
Doesn't it? Yeah. A pitch?
Is it what
court?
You, hopscotch?
A court?
I don't know what you call it. The area in which you play hopscotch.
I'm going court.
Anyway, let's turn then to gravy wrestling momentarily.
And more serious matters.
The reigning champion, who he hasn't had a chance to defend his title since 2018 because, of course, one of the victims of the pandemic would have been any event in which you can't socially distance in the world of gravy wrestling.
You can't
do
it. It's a pointless sport if you do.
He's a five-time winner of the title. Joel Hicks. Good afternoon, Joel.
Hey, gents. How are we doing?
Yeah, good,
thank you.
Joel.
It must be gutting for you not get back out there and possibly make it 6, 7 and 8 these last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been... we were hoping that we'd get the event going and everything, but it's just been too close to that sort of COVID cutoff. And unfortunately, again, we've had to miss out this year.
I see in the worldgravywrestling.com website, though, you are trumpeting the fact that 2022, barring any setbacks, it's back.
Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, the championships are a really good event to take part in. We raise a lot of money for East Lancashire Hospice and other charities, and we get people from all over the world coming to compete. And so hopefully next year we can make it bigger than better than ever, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it, when you wrestle in the gravy, is it like tennis? You know, they play on grass or hard court or whatever. Is the consistency of gravy, does that change? So you might do
do you have thick gravy wrestlers?
You might do Bristow. So
Bristow. We're not doing Alex Oxo Chamberlain. We're not doing the late, great Eric Bristow. We're not doing any of them. Every time we talk about gravy wrestling, that's all we get.
That was a mistake. I was going to say, and then there were like a nice red wine jus. Do they get in a different, level?
That's a very middle class version of gravy wrestling, isn't
it? Go on.
Yeah, it does tend to change from year to year in terms of the consistency. The temperature of the gravy can vary. One memorable year, they had an onion-based gravy, which seemed like a good idea at the time, until people got it in their eyes, and no one could really see what they were doing. But it added to the hilarity of the event, really. So, it does tend to change a bit, and it's not the you find it in orifices for several weeks after.
That's a bit, what they do, so. I hope you're enjoying your late lunch, everybody. Bits of onion. Yeah. The who wrestles in onion gravy? That was mad. Who ever thought of that? I hope they got sacked. That's a ridiculous idea.
It was a little bit, and we obviously we hold it on the August bank holiday, and so often the weather can be quite nice, and
the smell.
You tend to attract the bees and the wasps quite a bit as well. So if you don't get caught in the gravy ring, you get it outside while they while being stung to death. So there's plenty of hazards there.
It's what are the rules? What are the rules? Do you have to hold people down under the gravy, or what is it?
Yeah, I mean there are certain points awarded for sort of takedowns and holds, but it's more about crowd reaction, humour, your costume, and just generally not taking yourself too serious when you're in there. Not that you really could take yourself seriously.
When you're wrestling in gravy, it's quite hard to have your game face on. Yeah,
exactly that. And you know, if anyone does take it too seriously, they don't tend to last very long in the competition, or we send in some of the bigger lads. So it's just basically it's people getting together, having a good crack, making a fool of themselves, and raising money for much needed charities.
What's your costume, Joel? Finally, what do you tend to wear?
Well, I tend to go as a different persona every year. So I've been, I first won it as Stone Cold Steve Bistow. I've been the Macho Man Randy Sausage.
Ah, oh, perfect.
I was Mo Fahrenheit 1 year during the Olympics. It just tends to change every time. I've also gone as a woman. I entered into the female competition, but was unfortunately disqualified in the first round. For apparently having meat and two veg in the gravy wasn't allowed.
We're straying into some areas. I thought the onions were pushing it a bit. Okay, well, lovely to speak to you, Joel. As it all takes place in the Rosen Bowl in Stacksteads in Rossendale in Lancashire every year, doesn't it?
That's right. And they do a grand job every year. And you know, credit goes to all the organisers that sort it out, because they're the guys that make the event what it is. So yeah.
We look forward to seeing you defend your crown next year.
Fingers crossed, gents.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks very much. Yes, Joel Hicks there, World Gravy Wrestling Champion, no less than 5 times.
Yeah, it should take place in a massive boat, shouldn't it? A big gravy boat.
But could you say, have to be a see-through boat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, have to be a see-through boat.
You have to slide in. Both slide in, and then let battle commence.
It's a good costume would be like pie. One of you go as a pie.
I could see you in it, Charlie.
The other one go as mash.
Why don't you enter?
Pie v mash, finally.
Why don't you enter next year?
Here
comes peas.
Maybe I'll go up there and I'll take Joel's crown off him next year.
I think you'd be good. You've got the look of a wrestler. I can see you in a leotard. I think you'd look good
in
a
leotard. You've probably
seen
me in a
leotard. Very few people can carry off a leotard.
Well,
a man of your age, but I think you could.
We'll have a go at it next year. Send me up there.
Okay, we will do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We've been asking you about different games. A mum was told off by police for letting her kids chalk out hopscotch markings on the pavement, which when I was a kid was every 10 yards you had the hopscotch markings.
All day long, wasn't it?
It's chalk, it rains, it goes. I mean, they're not, unless they did it with paint. Yeah. Which I doubt they did. It was chalk.
Proper line marking.
Can't quite see.
Yellow lines paint.
What the issue is, you've been telling us something about the great lost games. One you all seem to love is Pom Pom 123. A couple of you got in touch. West Sussex Toffee. I think it was. Who was the other one he liked? They didn't put their name on it. Yeah, it had different regional names. He said it was where someone guarded the lamppost. Everyone hid.
Yeah.
And the guard had to find them before they made it back to the lamppost.
Pom Pom 123. You had to get back and say Pom Pom 123.
It was a good
and
game.
And you were safe.
So it was Pom Pom 123 round your way, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Blocky, it was called, or 40-40, apparently.
40, 40. I think 40-40 is different.
That was a different game,
yeah,
was it?
I think so,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was 40-40?
I can't think, but, you know.
Not quite the same. We used to play a game called Seven Beats, says Simon, the Arsenal fan. It was effectively headers and volleys, but if the keeper conceded seven in a row without catching it, everybody could beat him up for 7 seconds. 7 seconds thrash. There was a lot of violence in those days.
It was a lot. Maybe that's what 40-40 was.
They were different times.
You had 40 seconds to get away, or you get 40 seconds of being beaten up.
Do you remember that thing they did at school? When it was your birthday, they would kind of form an arch, and you'd walk through it, and you'd get like punched.
Yeah, punched.
I mean, a proper seeing to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that would get if you'd had an haircut in my year, you'd get haircut and you'd get whacked on the head.
Yeah. Kids, you don't know how lucky you are. The level of violence, the level of casual violence that we live with at that time. It was quite strange,
haircut.
Isn't it?
I'm going to start doing
it. It was the norm. We all just took it. We thought, it's my birthday. I'm going to have some big old nan's
stamp
bruises.
Stamp seats. If you had new trainers on, stamp seats. Everyone would stamp on you.
Honestly.
Do you think if I started doing haircut around the TalkSport office, I'd be in trouble, do you think?
Well, I think, certainly if one of the management did.
Yeah. Jim White.
Certainly the senior management.
If as we cross over between shows with Jim White and Simon Jordan, haircut, whack.
Suddenly you'd start with someone's birthday.
That'd be lovely.
You wouldn't do that at Spencer Oliver, though, would you?
Yeah. When Spencer in, I can't come in.
No, I can't come in. Stamps is Spencer.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Birthday spread in the final hour of the show. Now, Matt Ford is a busy man at the moment.
Oh, he's always busy.
One of the voices on Spitting Image. He's transferring to the West End, love.
He's got it all.
But a successful podcast. Yeah. Not going quite so well for his football team, something we'll touch on now. Good afternoon, Matt.
Oh, it was going so well.
Giving you the big build up, and then we mentioned Forest, but we'll come back to that. We'll kick off with. We spoke to you last year when you were doing your political party shows in Westminster. But you're moving to the West End.
Yeah, to the Duchess Theatre. So nice. I've been running this show at the other Palace Theatre for 8 years, and then. Obviously, COVID just put paid to everything. So now we're bringing it back. I did a few nights at the Garrick and I'm going to be at the Duchess every fortnight. So the first one's on the 27th of September with the Mayor of Manchester and Everton fan Andy Burnham.
Oh, yeah.
And then every fortnight from then on.
And how does it work, Matt? You sit them down, you ask them the questions everyone wants to know, you do an impression of them or one of those impressions, the four impressions you can do, and then...
Yeah, just do them, Stuart Pearce, Ed Miliband and Alan Partridge.
Exactly, just do them and then ask
wind up for about...
And then is there a Q&A from the audience? How does the evening work?
Yeah, so I do stand up at the start and I do, you know, a hilarious sideways look at the fortnight in politics.
Yeah.
And then I get them up on stage for a kind of cheeky... I ask them serious questions, but I guess in a cheeky way. And then the audience can get involved towards the end as well. And obviously I would say this. But it is a great night out. They're really funny and really interesting people. And when you're asking them, particularly someone like Andy Byrne, who's currently in charge and has a lot of power, there's a lot of stuff you want to hear from him about.
Yeah, I mean, the diary columnists must love you because they get those little tidbits. You know, you get a politician talking about stuff they wouldn't normally talk about. So it's, the columnists must love the stuff that you turn out, I'm sure.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that having an audience there would make a politician clam up. But if you're being nice to them in front of an audience and they're getting laughs, it makes them open up like no one's business. Mm. And if it's just Like the interviews, like this. If it's just us three chatting and you ask me something, I'm not keen on talking about it, and then it gets awkward. The pressure's on you as an interviewer to move on. But when you've got like 100 or a couple of hundred people there and they say, oh, yeah, I don't want to tell you what it was like in Cabinet when Tony Blair was there. And you sort of go, come on. And a couple of hundred people go, oh, come on. It pushes them, actually. So having a live audience makes them open up even more. Mm.
Is that your way of saying you don't want to talk about Forrest?
Yeah. No comment. No comment, copper. You're not stepping on me.
Putting it straight back on us because it's getting awkward. So, yeah, you're kicking off then. You said 27th of September and with Andy Burnham. Fantastic. Yeah. And every couple of weeks, you say?
Every fortnight.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm basically like Celine Dion or Britney, you know.
They always say that politics is entertainment and show business for ugly people, isn't it? That's what they say.
Is that what they say?
That's one of the things. So, is that?
What does that mean then? Is entertainment politics for sexy people?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that.
Now, Spitting Image is back, isn't it? You're working on the show. When's that? That's back this week, isn't it?
The first episode is on BritBox. On it drops is the new word for is revealed. You know, drops or lands. I don't know where it drops from or if it hurts if it lands on you. But on Saturday, it will be on BritBox.
Excellent.
Yes, the new series. Fantastic. And a new episode every Saturday for the next 10 weeks.
And how do you do, Matt, in it? And also, I was always wondering, how does it get sort of divvied up, the voices? Do you all sit around a table and go, well, I can do them, or I can have a go at them, and you all have a sort of audition in front of each other? Or do you get booked just to do specific voices?
That's a really good point. I just get told. I mean, I don't know if anyone else is like asking, but I just get told. So I do Donald Trump, Boris Johnson, Keir Starmer, Alex Salmond, Phil Foden.
Do you? Wow.
And I did Chris Whitty last week at very short notice. And obviously, the great thing is no one knows what he sounds like.
Yeah.
So do no anything one will for know that. Whether that's a good impression or not. But I just got told I was doing those ones, really. And sometimes they'll say, oh, can you do? There must be other people that can't do certain voices, because occasionally they'll say, oh, could you have a go at Phil Foden? I'll go, yeah, I'll have a go at Phil Foden.
Yeah.
So it's not like that. I mean, the writing of it, we all sit round and pitch ideas in the writing element, which I'm also part of.
Mm.
So you say, I've got an idea for a sketch, and then you knock it round together, and then you go away and write it up. And then in the most, you know, most people's social anxiety is sitting around with friends and saying something they think is funny and not getting a laugh. That people go home with like terrible anxiety about that. We then sit in a room. I've never worked on a show like this before. Your script gets put up on a big screen and people go through it line by line and improve it and go, that doesn't make any sense. No, just delete all that. And you're like, oh my God. It's like having your home. It's like your teacher reading out your homework and the whole class going, this guy is stupid.
Well, depending on how big this story gets, next week, I believe Donald Trump is going to be commentating on boxing. It's Evander Holyfield versus Vitor Belfort. They're fighting in Hollywood and they've got Donald Trump in to commentate on the fight. And I just wonder, maybe that'll get me. I can't really imagine how that would pan out.
Man, who's this walking
down
the street?
Well, it's a great start to the fight. But I don't know when they're going to bring out the chair. That's my favourite bit, when they put the chair when they hit each other. My favourite boxer, by the way, was Big Doody. Was a great, great British boxer. But I like it when they jump off the top rope. They're not doing that too much tonight. But I prefer it when they do that. And then they talk to each other a lot, by the way, in boxing. Boxing is a beautiful sport. But I don't like it when the referees, they let them get away with too much, I think. But I prefer it when they suplex each other. And by the way, I was the best boxer there's ever been. I could have been a boxer, everybody says that.
Very good, Matt. Very good.
You two are losers, by the way. You're part of the fake news media.
The time has come.
Paul Hooksby and Chris Booker. They're losers.
Yeah. Wow.
The time has come finally to talk, Forrest. And I'm a big fan of Chris Hughton. He's up against it at the moment. It's just the single point so far.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
You're confident you can turn it round?
Well, I think Nottingham Forest are
What a bailout. What a bailout.
They won the Champions Division 7 years on the tread, and everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. With Bobby Clough, who was a great, great football man, and we're very good at cricket, by the way, and I do know that. Well, with Forrest, obviously, the problem is, I think every time we talk, it's always what a terrible start you've had.
Yeah.
And I think we could have had that conversation every year for 22 years.
Mm, yeah.
And it would be the same conversation every time. So yeah. The thing is, if you know what's mad about Forest is, Chris Hughton obviously is a very talented manager who gets clubs promoted to the Premier League. Our owner is Mr. Marinakis, who owns Olympiacos, who's invested in the club. Somewhere, something hasn't quite yet gone right, but it feels like the pieces are slowly falling into place.
Mm.
With Forest, it feels like it's a matter of time, but obviously, I've been saying that since 1999.
Yeah, yeah. You always travel in hope, I know you, Matt, and for every season, Matt's full of optimism, a very optimistic person. And it just hasn't quite happened yet. You just have to relive that Luke Shaw goal one more time, Matt, which I know you go over and over again in your head. And when you're feeling low, you just go over the Luke Shaw goal in the final.
Really?
That has replaced... Well, nothing will replace Stuart Pearce's penalty against Spain for like most YouTube from my... I mean, I watched the Stuart Pearce penalty against Spain, I would say, probably still three times a week. I just sort of absentmindedly find myself watching it. I think it's the most uplifting thing you can watch. But Luke Shaw's goal... I mean, I would cry during those England games.
Yeah.
I remember crying against Germany when we were 2-0 up in the sort of last minutes. And that about an hour into the Italy game, I was just sort of weeping. Because it was so close.
Yeah.
We'd never been that far. Our generation's never been that far before.
Yeah.
It was almost like, you know, when people say, when Neil Armstrong said he looked back at the earth and all his problems seemed so small. Well, from the back of Wembley, looking down at England 1-0 up, I just thought, this puts life into perspective. This is one of the most wonderful. From now on, my life will be different. I'll have always seen us. Well, at that point, I thought we were going to win it.
Mm.
But just to feel that. To get that close was just so special. And I think in time, we will eulogise it in the same way that we do semi-final defeats like 90 and 96. And I think hopefully we'll go on to win something. I really think we will.
Yeah.
But I think that summer will take on a very, very special place in English hearts.
Remember that? All those people lined up and giving the manager a kicking today.
He's brilliant. What is people's problem? It's insane. You know, sometimes you think, well, you know, people just have a different perspective and isn't that wonderful? And then you hear the way some people talk about football and it's like they've been watching a different sport.
It's a game of opinions, John. It's a game of opinions. So, Matt, good to talk to you.
MattFord.com
is the place to go for the political party tickets. And we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks a lot.
See you soon, fellas.
Cheers.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Charlie, let me invite you and indeed our listeners to kickstart their autumn. Even though it's about 70-odd degrees outside.
Out
I'm talking
there
in
the
old money, of course.
Feels like July.
I still talk in the old money. I don't know, in terms of temperatures.
Oh, yeah. Mrs.
gives me a filthy look. She says, she does know, but she'll say, I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Now.
What does 70 mean?
She's a kid
or something. She knows what it means. Anyway, kickstart your autumn with the TalkSport Shop sale. It's up to 80% off selected items. But be quick before they all go, Charlie. What's on offer?
Wrap up with our discounted bundles or settle in with a TalkSport mug and TalkSport latest book, The Top 5 of Almost Everything.
Yeah, that's right. Be sitting there reading your book.
Having a cup of tea with your book. There we are.
Possibly with a bobble hat on, but
that's
a bit
of an odd mug. Top 5 mugs of all time.
Yeah, don't do that.
TalkSport mug.
Whatever the score is, head to TalkSport.com/shop and own the game. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. Now, I reckon the TalkSport mug might be one you give... When you have builders in, or you have tradespeople in, I'll often give them the Easter egg mug, Paul. That's what they'll get. If I'm making them a cup of tea, they'll get the Easter egg mug.
Is that what you give them? One you got?
I always think builders must think everybody has really rubbish mugs.
Yeah. The thing is, in doing that, though, Charlie, why bring a tradesperson in that you don't trust to hold a mug properly? You're quite prepared to have basically build
you the windows.
A 50 grand extension. But I don't trust you to hold one of my best mugs. So I'll give you the one I got for a pound with an Easter egg in it.
It's just habit. I don't know why they get the crunchy mug.
You think they've got grubby lips, many of them? They could buy and sell most of us, builders, couldn't they?
It's a shame. Exactly. Really? Exactly. I've learned my lesson now, Paul. You've shown me the error of my ways.
One of the great joys.
In future, I will get the best china out.
If you get get somebody in, you know, I know Chippy, who's a big West Ham fan, so always take the missus, give him the give him one of the Tottenham mugs.
Oh, what a lovely bit of business that is.
One drink out of it.
Just not that, thank you.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Anyway, talking of bundles, we mentioned bundles earlier on, and we were just talking about the level of violence involved in most playground games. This is off a mum in Milton Keynes whose kids, police told her off and her kids for drawing out a hopscotch, I'm calling it a pitch, on the pavement, which it does seem a bit much. Isn't it? You've been reliving some of the old games you played.
Yeah.
Mossy, the Leeds fan, says, we used to play Gratey, where we used the curb grates on opposite sides of the road as goals and a tennis ball for our version of football. Great for working on touch and finishing, but you always had the threat of being run over by a car. There was the constant cry of, Car! Yeah, we used to have that when we used to play like up against the garage wall. That was in the street. I mean, you know, kids don't do it. It wasn't clever.
You were talking earlier on about people going to school on their birthday and there'd be like a tunnel of people, and as they went through the tunnel, they'd get like a dead arm or whatever, a Chinese burn or whatever on their arm, you know, but that sort of thing. Look, the term for getting beats on your birthday is called the tunnel of death.
Oh, is it really?
Tunnel of death. Yeah. Used to be horrible on your birthday. There we are. So that was CJ sent us that.
Thank you.
So,
yeah. What else have we got here? Now, this is a story we'll have to dance carefully around, but it's quite good.
Yeah.
John, who's in London, he didn't narrow that down a bit. He tells us, my best friend went to his future wife's parents at home to meet them. This is the Deontay Wilder story of him saying any of his daughter's future boyfriends will have to go three rounds with him to prove they can protect them when they go out, which is a bit scary for a first date. It'd be a bit much, wouldn't it? Deontay's there, hand you a pair of gloves.
Instead of a doorbell, he has a ding-ding.
Yeah. So you've been telling us about those first meetings. So, yeah, my best friend went to his future parents' home to meet them. While they were all happily chatting in the lounge, my mate felt, let's just say he had some excess stomach gas while he was sitting there. And he held it as long as he could and then thought he had a bit of a stroke of luck because both the parents and wife left the room to check on dinner. He thought no more of it and basically, in a sort of Chaucer-like, stuck his backside out of the patio doors to free himself of this discomfort,
which he
did. On doing so, he heard a snigger, only to turn round and see both the parents had actually gone out via the kitchen into the garden.
Oh, no.
So really, nice, said his future father-in-law as he walked past. Okay. Well, if you can get over that particular hump, then you can get over anything with the in-laws.
Breaks the
ice,
doesn't it?
Oh, broke the window.
Depends what you've eaten.
Yeah. So keep those coming. Another very violent game from Wales.
Yeah,
John tells
us. Join the crew.
So we run across an open section of land and start with one person in the middle, tries to catch up as they run across. And then you basically steam into each other and say, join the crew.
Oh, that's Bulldog, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's British Bulldog, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Join the crew, it was known as in Wales.
Sounds a bit more sinister, join the crew.
It does a bit, doesn't it? Anyway, so tell us about some of the lost childhood games that you played.
Yeah.
Curbsies we've had, haven't we, earlier on?
Exactly. More aggressive than
that. And some of those other quite frightening first date dads that maybe you've encountered.
AA van, Paul, did you ever play that? You see an AA van, first person to say AA van gets to punch the other one in the arm. Did you ever play that?
No, that's weird. Did you invent that?
No. Something we used to do.
Was it something that the RAC started to promote?
AA van, whack.
Imagine someone at Green Flag said, let's get kids playing. Be bad publicity for the other lot.
Real bad vibe towards AA vans.
Right. Yeah. Kids were big bruises. Have you played AA van? I thought it was a poet. Let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. The Moose is up next. I'm sure he found himself going through the tunnel of death at school on his birthday. Stop it.
Happy birthday.
You can hear him now. Pair of shorts, little blazer, looking like Angus from AC/DC, but not looking any different.
No different at all.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's time then for the birthday spread, that point of the show where Andy Jacobs brings us 10 birthdays, people's birthdays, who've celebrated them this week, not necessarily today. It'll have a little gag, a top gag attached to each one of them. It'll bring us to bring a bit of levity to proceedings because ultimately it's a contest between myself and Charlie to try and guess how old these people are. And a margin of error will build, of course, with the years that we are out as we guess these birthdays. And the one with the shortest margin of error, the one that correctly guesses the birthdays with the shortest amount of years, is the winner.
Can go very wrong very quickly, I've discovered, Paul.
Andy Jacobs joins us now. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, boys. And Charlie was worried last night that he'd get too involved in the comedy, but I told him there's no need to worry about it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen this
I've
week.
I've seen this week's names.
Yes. Now, there was a bit of drama backstage as Jeff Peters said to me a few minutes ago, I don't think I can do this.
Oh.
So he's not in his nerve centre today, our official scorer. He's at baggage reclaim at East Midlands Airport, I believe.
Wow.
And
the glamour.
And so here he is now. He's going to have to do maths. Are you going to just watch your case go round and round while everybody else is gone? You're going to have like a sniffer dog. There's going to be a controlled explosion on his case at about 10 to 4. There's nothing he can do about it. So it's not good.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, I'm at Birmingham Airport baggage reclaim. Normally the bags come through really quickly here, but... yeah, and then I couldn't get my Skype to work on the Mac, so we're holding it together. It's very... Oh, I can see my case now.
Oh, okay, well, that's okay. Good. That's good. You can relax now.
That's a good sign.
You can relax. That leopard skin thong's just poking out of the side of it.
Just so he knows it's his.
Poor lad. Anyway.
It's an open and shut case.
Pele, get well soon, Pele, but he's always here to help us out when we play this. Jeff, that put me right. Should I start this or should Charlie start this week? Do you know?
I'll be honest, I'm a bit lost, but you won last week, Paul.
Yes.
And it's Desmond between you. It's 2-2. So I think, yeah, you start.
I'll start. Okay, here we go then. First birthday then, Andy.
Yes, very happy birthday to the fine actor who played Luther for 9 years, Idris Elba. And a few years ago, I was very friendly with Idris and the late great Villa player, Oscar Arce. It was amazing that from behind, they looked almost identical. I could never tell my Oscar from my Idris.
Very nice.
Clever. Got us out of trouble.
Pull back and reveal.
On the school run. Good work. Idris Elba, younger, I think probably older than he looks is what I mean.
Oh, okay.
What's Idris then? 40, I don't know, maybe not. 49, Andy, what do you think?
I think he's a bit older.
A bit older.
I'm
going to
say
that.
53.
Oh, good start for Charlie. He's 54.
Oh, bang. He's in good nick, isn't he? He's in good nick.
Stuff.
So, Jeff, what's that done to the scores?
Paul, direct hit for you. Charlie, 4 out. So it's Paul, 0. Charlie, 4.
No, the other, I think it was the other way round. No, it wasn't a direct hit.
I was 1 out.
He was 1 out. And we're going to have to keep score for the score. We're going to be here for hours.
I mean,
that's hopeless.
Yeah, so
terrible.
Charlie was 1 out.
And you were 5.
I thought Charlie said 53 and Paul, you said 49.
I did.
I said 50,
and he was,
yeah,
and he was 54. Yeah. Is me nan scoring?
According to
we've got a baggage handler that can do it.
Yeah, do you know anybody who can see if they can get that sniffer dog to do it for us? So what, Charlie, you're keeping score, what was it? I was five out.
Jeff's now claiming that Idris Elba is 49.
It's 5-1. Okay. Courtney, he's 50.
Oh, no, he's 49. Sorry, no, he is 49.
Andy.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't read my own. I'll cut it out too.
This is unbelievable.
This is such an amateur
hour. Give with one hand, take away with
amateur.
The other.
Sorry, Jeff, can we apologise? We didn't know. Is Andy being the idiot today?
None taken.
Okay.
Right, so
Paul, yeah, there we are. 4-0.
God, what about
sorry,
this?
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
Disaster.
I'll concentrate.
Yeah, that'll be Andy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favourite actors and comedians, the brilliant Bob Newhart.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
And he's just been taken on, even at his age, as a coach by Sadio Mane, Wilf Zaha and Jack Grealish. They've all bought his famous record, The Diving Instructor.
Oh, lovely.
You mean
stuff.
You just trip up and fall over without contact walk?
Here we are. It's one for the teenagers.
He's in Elf.
Yeah, he is in Elf, yeah. How old is he? Quick.
86.
93, I'm going to go for. What is he, Andy?
92, if that's correct.
Jeff,
Paul.
I will
so
trust you. What's
game.
That done? On the basis they are the right ages, what's that done to the scores?
It's 4-1. Charlie Baker 6.
Somebody just flushed the loo.
I think he hit one of those bins, those metal bins. Paul 1, Charlie what? Sorry?
6-1 is.
6-1, okay.
Charlie's on 10, and Paul, you're on 1.
This is carnage. Okay, I'm next. Keep going.
Okay, it's the singer-songwriter Macy Gray.
Macy Gray.
I used to share a house with Macy when we were both students. She was always getting locked out. I don't know what it was about Keys and Gray.
Hey, what's Macy Gray now?
What do you think she is?
47. I'm going Macy Gray.
You think she's quite old because she tries to walk away and then she stumbles.
She's done. Well, she's had a fall. She had a fall, didn't she? Poor Macy.
52.
54.
Oh, Jeff, what's that down to the scores?
Paul is 7 out, Charlie is 2 out, it's Paul 8, Charlie 12.
Oh, good game. Okay,
it's going to be
one.
A close game, this, because a lot of these you'll know. There's only three that you don't know this week.
Okay.
It's the famous singer Michael Bublé. And Michael's just bought a glass manufacturing factory near Upton Park.
Is he really?
A friend of mine who got a job there was complaining about the very long hours. Said to me, I'm forever blowing Bublé.
Yeah, kept it clean.
That's basic.
Could have gone in a very different direction. So,
Bublé is around my age. So 20, I think he's 46.
48, I'm going to go.
46, he is, exactly 46.
Oh, bang.
So,
fantastic.
Jeff, what's that done? Obviously, Charlie's not changed, he's on 12, but what's it done to me, Charlie?
Yeah, direct hit for Charlie. Paul, you're 2 out, so it's Paul 10, Charlie 12.
Very good game. We go into half-time then, just one more to go.
Okay,
Andy.
Coming into half-time with the news presenter and triathlon runner, we interviewed her a couple of years back, Louise Minchin. She's always looking for ways to maximise her finances and came up with the idea of being paid in South African rand to take advantage of the exchange rate. It wasn't much, but she felt it was worth it because money's too tight to Minchin.
Dear me.
Don't mention the war.
Yeah, nice. You could have gone down that road, yeah.
I could have done, yes.
That's one of the greats.
That was a great one.
Even as his luggage goes around the carousel, he could appreciate that. 47, I'm going to go for.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to think. I think he's a little bit older than that. I'm going to say 48.
Oh, okay.
Yes. She's 53.
All those triathlons kept her looking young. What's that done to the scores as we go into half-time, Jeff?
Yeah, well, at the halfway stage, and as I was just about to head through customs while during the advert break, it is Paul 16, Charlie 17, and if you don't hear from me afterwards, Well, hopefully
if
you'll hear from me.
If we hear the snap of a rubber glove, we'll get someone to take over.
Border
or maybe
Force
not.
Birmingham.
It would be a radio first. It would be a radio first as we heard these things. What's the score, Jeff? Anyway, we move on. Half time. Back very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just very quickly, it's the story. I once went out with a girl and her dad made me put on a full dog training bite suit and stand in the garden while a massive Rottweiler was set on me and wrestled me to the ground. A petrifying experience. The relationship didn't last, says Jake. Jake, thank you for that.
Come on, it's a cup of tea, son.
It's a bit of a shock.
Play with the dog in the back garden.
Anyway, the birthday spread, delicately poised, cumulatively over the 5 birthdays, I've been 16 years out in my guesses. Charlie has been 17, all to play for. Here's Pele. Here he is. And he's back. Jeff's, you're through customs. No full body search, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm through. I've just gone to the coffee shop to order a brew. So we're all good.
He did ask if he could have one, but they said they were busy, I think. So got better things to do. Okay, take it away, Andy.
Okay, it's the singer Pink.
Oh, yeah, Pink, yeah.
Yes, we were watching snooker at the Crucible former Palace legend, Jim Cannon.
Yes.
He had a huge bust-up. He refused to speak to her. Cannon went off the pink. Thank you.
Nice. What's Harold's is it, Pink?
Is it me?
It's you,
is
Charlie,
me,
yeah.
Harold's I'm going to say she's 44.
Pink 44?
That's what I'm going to go for.
Okay,
Paul.
I'm going to go Pink 47.
A Pink 42.
So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Paul, you are 5 out. Charlie, 2 out. Bit of a turnaround. It's 21 to Paul, just 19 to Charlie.
Very
really
game.
Tight game. Six gone.
Tight game.
Back
I thought
to me
it'd be tight
first.
Today.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's the co-creator of Spitting Image, Roger Law. Law.
I'm glad it wasn't the other one, because I do worry about the
joke.
Yeah, I wonder about the joke might have been. Look him up, kids.
Very true.
Yes, Roger
Law.
We had
a massive argument recently about who actually created Spitting Image. It got physical, and one of us took a right pasting, and it wasn't him. I fought the law, and the law won.
The law won, yeah. Lovely, yeah. What's Roger Law? A huge beard.
Huge beard,
I'd say he's got to be about 70, six. What do you think, Charlie?
I was going to go younger than that. I'm going to go the 72.
80, actually.
Oh, right. Yeah. Good. 80. Wow. So, Jeff, where are we at with that one? How many was I at?
Well, it's flip-flopping. Paul, you're four out. Charlie, eight out. So, Paul, back in the lead, 25 to 27.
27.
Okay.
Fantastic.
And here come the three that you don't know. I think, yes, you do. The cartoonist Robert Crumb. Robert Crumb.
Yeah.
And I was very grateful to Robert and his family for supporting us while I was out of work. We were living off crumbs.
Robert Crumb, Charlie. Crumb. I mean, this is you. Well, what do you think?
I think he was a cartoonist in the 60s.
Okay.
But I might be completely wrong here. Mm. So this could be the one that does me in.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 72.
Do you know, I go a bit higher than that. I don't know why. Right. I don't know, he sounds
is
like
he a 60s.
I don't know. I don't know him. I just think he's about 83, Andy.
He's 78.
Ooh. I think we both did all right there, Jeff. Just confirm that. What happened?
Five out, Paul. Six out, Charlie. 30 to Paul. 33 to Charlie. Three in it.
Oh, my God.
Isn't
it? Game. Okay. I'm up next.
Okay, birthday number 9. Very happy birthday to Gerald Corbett, the chairman of Segro Property Investment, and who cares? And Britvic from 2005 to 17. Mm. Gerald
chairman.
Corbett. Though during lockdown, he didn't shave or cut his hair, and he spent hours devising a puppet show for his family. Yes, it was Harry Corbett and Sooty.
Gerald Corbett, he's got a certain amount of infamy at one point, didn't he? He's probably got to be about 82. Mm. What do you think, Charlie?
I'm going to say 85.
He's 70.
He's 70. Wow. I went the wrong way.
Sorry, Jerry, if you're listening. A few bottles of Britvic wouldn't go amiss. So, what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Paul, you're 12 out. Charlie, 15 out. It's 42, Paul. Charlie, 48. Six in it, one to go, but we're very tight. Exciting.
Okay, I'll go very first tight. Then as I'm in the lead. Yeah, sure. Little in it. Here we go, Andy.
Okay, the final birthday of the day is the painter, including portraits of the royal family, Brian Organ. Brian Organ.
Where's this guy?
Good luck, everyone.
Strap yourselves in.
No, it's school run time. Yeah. He does very good work in hospitals, supplying Greek food to transplant patients. He's an organ donor.
Oh, cool. Blimey. What does... keep it light. What does... What did Brian do again?
Well, it could have been worse.
What did Brian
Brian
do?
Brian Organ.
Painter.
He could do it. Yeah, okay. Brian Organ, the painter. Okay. Do you know who he is, Charlie, Brian Organ?
I don't. No, I just try and think of how old...
I haven't got a clue. I'm just going to go 85,
wow.
Charlie. 85, and there's very little in it. Brian Organ, 85.
Okay, well, I'll go... 78.
Wow.
Tremendous guessing from both of you today, but Paul was brilliant there. Brian Organ is 86.
Oh, very good. I had to go one way or the other, Paul.
Yeah, you did,
didn't I? And I thought he might have been a
so
bit younger.
So even my maths can
well
work
done,
out.
Well done, Paul.
I finish on 43, but what does Charlie finish
very
on, Jeff?
Charlie finishes on 56. It's back-to-back wins for Paul, who's back in form. So it's Paul 3, Charlie 2 in this brand new rebooted, relaunched birthday spread.
Yes, Max will be listening to this on the podcast later on. Well, it's rebooted
it's
in the
it's
sense
all new people.
It's new in the sense that Andy doesn't know how old anybody is, and Jeff's doing it from an airport.
Some would say it's
new
worse.
Format.
Some people think it's worse, but you know, like the 100, more people are getting involved. So,
well, I thought that went rather well. Yeah. So,
well done. Of course, you did.
Thank you, Jeff. And well, you're back in the nerve centre next week, yep.
Back in East Midlands Nerve Centre, absolutely.
Marvellous.
Just talking to you then, boys.
Brilliant. Andy, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
See you tomorrow, lovely.
Andy Jacobs back for the clips of the week and all that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Thank you, Charlie. You're back on Tuesday.
Back on Tuesday with you. Saturday morning with Max.
Yes,
live
good.
From Australia.
Excellent.
9 till 11, game day warm-up.
Brilliant. Okay, Andy with me tomorrow, clips of the week and all that. If you can join us from 1, great. If not, podcast available around 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.